ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد مبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله أن نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected brothers and sisters, whoever listening on the receivers or on audio streaming. Last week we had discussed some aspects of the life of our Dada Sheikh, Hazrat Muhyi Sunnah Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahab Hardoi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Since we had commenced that discussion, we need to complete that discussion, other aspects with regard to the life of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Because we must understand one thing, that in the Dhikri Salihina Tanzilur Rahmah, it has been mentioned by the Awliya Allah that whenever the Ahlullah, the Awliya Allah, the Salihin are mentioned in a gathering, Allah's Rahmat descends. The special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on that gathering. And why would it not be so? Because these are the beloveds of Allah. And when a beloved is mentioned, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat and Allah's mercy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special gaze descends on those gatherings, because His beloved ones are being discussed in that gathering. So therefore, from time to time, we should mention and we should speak about the lives of our pious elders, our akabirin. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has actually compiled a book called Mashayikh-e-Chisht. The title of the book is Mashayikh-e-Chisht. Mashayikh, we know what is the meaning of Mashayikh, Shuyukh or Sheikhs. And the Mashayikh-e-Chisht means the Mashayikh, the Sheikhs of the Silsila of Chishtiya, our spiritual lineage as it goes up, to know who are our spiritual forefathers. We must know who are our spiritual forefathers. Maybe we don't know our biological forefathers, that is not important. But it is important to know our spiritual forefathers, our silsila as it goes up, which how great each one of the of those personalities were. So in our spiritual lineage, our Dada Sheikh is Hazrat Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the last and the youngest Khalifa of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He was only 22 years old when his Shaykh had so much of faith in him, his piety and taqwa, and his ta'alluq ma'allah, and his nisbat ma'allah, was of that level that at that young age, Hakim al-Ummat Rahmatullah Ali gave Hazrat Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Khilafat. So we were discussing some aspects of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's life. And amongst the things regarding Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, we mentioned the fact that Hazrat Shaykh, the Ustad of Hazrat Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, mentioned that even in his student days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already granted him nisbat ma'allah, and Allah had granted him wilayat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gifted him with his friendship. In his student days already, he had acquired such a level of piety and taqwa. After he qualified, he taught at different institutions until, on the mashwara of his sheikh, he settled down in Hardoi, which is his hometown, and there he established Madrasa Dawatul Haq, famous madrasa, which alhamdulillah to this day it is running. And many students from South Africa studied there and other countries, England and elsewhere. And they drank from this fountain of knowledge. And Hazrat, not only was he the person who established the madrasa in Hardoi, but for that matter, many, many madrasas, maktabs especially, in different parts throughout the length and breadth of India and elsewhere, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was instrumental in setting up many madrasas. In the lifetime of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and a movement by the name of Majlis Dawatul Haq was established. What was Majlis Dawatul Haq? Majlis Dawatul Haq was a movement to eradicate the wrongs and to eradicate the sins or the wrong customs and practices in the Muslim Ummah. Because whilst it is very good to promote virtue and good deeds, but we should also speak about the wrongs that prevail, so that on one side there is the positive, so we have to take out the negative, so that the positive can have its due effect. So Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatul alayhi established what is called Majlis Dawatul Haq in his lifetime, and it so happened that after Hazrat's demise, that movement had virtually become almost forgotten, and there was nobody to take up the effort of Dawatul Haq, Majlis Dawatul Haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Hazrat Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi to re-establish the Majlis Dawatul Haq. And Hazrat, wherever he went, in England, Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, different parts of the world, wherever Hazrat went, he established the Majlis Dawatul Haq, so that the wrongs and vices in the Ummah could be removed and eradicated. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had a very strong desire and a very great passion for establishing the Sunnah in the lives of the Ummah, especially those Sunnahs that had become disregarded in the Ummah. When it came to, for example, the sunnats of Azan, the sunnats of the Iqamah, the 52 sunnats of the Salah, the sunnats of eating and drinking. And Hazrat used to always say that make amal on those sunnats that you find easy to practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you tawfiq to make amal on those sunnats that you are finding difficult to practice. So once a person starts practicing on those sunnats that are easy, sunnats are easy by their nature. Sunnat is ashal, ajmal, akmal. These are the words of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is the one who explained in the most beautiful way these three words to describe the sunnah, that it is ashal, it is the easiest. It is akmal, it is the most perfect. It is ajmal, it is the most beautiful. These were the three words Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to describe the sunnah in the most comprehensive way. He described the sunnah that it is akmal, ajmal and ashal. However, due to our weakness, we find it difficult to make amal on certain sunnats. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always say in his majalis and his malfuzat that make amal on the sunnats that you find it easy to make amal on. Automatically Allah Ta'ala will give you tawfiq to make amal on those sunnats you are finding difficult to make amal upon. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to, wherever he used to go, he had one burning desire and ambition that the sunnah must be brought alive in that community. Whatever shortcomings they were, whatever mistakes they were, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali would rectify those mistakes. If the muazzin was making a mistake, he would rectify the muazzin's mistake. If the imam was making a mistake, he would rectify the imam's mistake. A lot of people used to run away from the musalla when Hazrat used to come, because they were very afraid. Hazrat used to correct and rectify at every step. However, this was his great passion. And because he did it with such sincerity, with ikhlas, he did it with concern, he did it with feeling. Therefore, nobody took offense. If any one of us tries to do that, be careful, that people will get very offended and angry. There is a way to do it, and there is a certain jazba and spirit to do it. Not everybody can do the kind of nahi anil munkar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, that ability and capability of doing nahi anil munkar in the most beautiful way. That is why he got the title of Muhiyyu Sunnah, because through him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought alive the sunnats. To a great extent, those sunnats that were not being practiced, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought alive those sunnats in the Ummah. Another very important aspect of Hazrat's life was his great emphasis on respect for the Quran Sharif. Hazrat used to go to a madrasa, he used to walk into the madrasa, he used to ask where's the hifz class, they will show him. He'll ask where's the hadith class. Now normally it is in the hadith class because it is the final year of the alim course, hadith class, Dora hadith class. So they will put very nice carpets, fans, and make the room, decorate it. And the hifz class, they used to put lower quality carpets and so on. Hazrat used to be very, very upset with this. And he used to say that this is the respect we show for Kalamullah, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we treat it like this. So Hazrat was very particular about these things. These are those things that have been forgotten in the ummah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Hazrat to revive the respect of the Quran Sharif, the adab of the Quran Sharif. Hazrat used to say that we should put the Quran is the king. The Quran is the king in our life. So he used to say, where is the place of the king? The place of the king is on the throne. You must sit on the throne. So what is the throne of the Quran Sharif? On the proper Quran stand. A proper stand that has been made for the Quran Sharif. That is where the Quran Sharif must be kept. That is where the king is put on the throne. And the king, what does the king wear? He wears a beautiful royal robe. That is what is the garb of the king. So he said, put the robe on the Quran Sharif, put the ghilaf, put the juzdan, put that on the cover on the Quran Sharif. Don't leave the Quran Sharif anyhow. We find a lot of people, they have absolutely no concept of adab and respect for the Quran Sharif. It is extremely heartbreaking when you go to the Haramain Sharifain and we find people leaving the Quran Sharif on the floor and they don't think anything about it. This is the degree of decline in the ummah. Decline in the ummah to such an extent that a person is reading the Quran Sharif, his legs are stretched out, he is reclining against the wall or in his sofa, his legs are stretched out and he's sitting and reading Quran Sharif in that posture. Obviously, this is totally unbecoming. This is not the respect of the Quran Sharif. So Hazrat used to emphasize greatly on the respect of the Quran Sharif. That was one salient aspect of his life. He was very, very particular. Quran Sharif must be placed on the Quran stand. That is the throne of this king. The robe must be put on. That is the cover must be put on to the Quran Sharif. Normally we find people when they read Quran Sharif too, they're not concerned about how they put the Quran Sharif. We put the Quran upside down. Now let us ask the question, would we like it if somebody must turn us upside down? Would we like to stand upside down? Then why is it when it comes to the Quran Sharif, then we just put it upside down? We don't see which way we put it, right side up or the wrong side up. This is lack of adab. This is the lack of respect. And when it comes to the Quran Sharif, that is one thing that cannot be tolerated, that is the slightest disrespect for the Quran Sharif. Not that a person is doing it deliberately, but we need to be conscientious of this. We need to be very, very particular that we show the due respect to the Quran Sharif. And no action of ours, even unwittingly, without realizing, leads to any form of disrespect for the Quran Sharif. Our children, we must teach them how to hold the Quran Sharif. Today it is very heartbreaking. We see children, they're holding the Quran Sharif on their side like this, swinging their arms, and they're walking with the Quran Sharif in their hand. How can a person carry the Quran like that? Quran must be carried next to the heart. Even when the mothers sew their madrasa bag, it must be sewed in such a way that it doesn't hang on the side of the child that is touching your legs and is touching their thighs and it's swinging around. It must be sewn in such a way that it remains close to the upper part of the body so the Quran Sharif is not hanging down on the floor. When it comes to school-going children, they go to Islamic school and so on. Many children take the Quran Sharif and they dump it in the school bag, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, with the history, geography, maths and the Afrikaans textbooks, Quran Sharif is also just put inside the bag like that. That is a form of disrespect for the Quran Sharif. We cannot show this kind of disrespect for the Quran. We have to instill in our children the respect for the Quran. Even if they're going to school and they have to take the Quran Sharif, the Kitab, make a separate juzdan just for the Quran Sharif and the Kitabs, and then put that on the top of all the books so that the Quran Sharif stays on top and the books stay under. We cannot have a situation where the Quran Sharif is next to the textbooks or under the textbooks. And just lying side by side with the textbooks, it must have its own independent juzdan or its covering. These are the basic things which we are taking so much for granted. And when the respect and adab of the Quran will go out of the heart, then what is left of Islam? What Islam is left anymore after that? So may Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us from showing any form of disrespect to the Quran, whether it's done deliberately or it is done, you know, unwittingly. We should not show any form, and even our children, instill in them the adab and respect for the Quran Sharif. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali emphasized very much on the importance of tajweed, to read the Quran Sharif correctly. That was one thing Hazrat placed a lot of emphasis on. Because the Quran is the kalam of Allah. It is the speech of Allah. It is a particular manner in which it must be recited. We cannot just read the Quran anyhow. If we went to maktab and madrasa, and unfortunately, we were not taught the correct manner of tilawat, we were not taught the proper way of reading the Quran Sharif, then we should make an effort now. Now we should make an effort in this age of ours, whatever our age is, whether we are young or old or middle age, we must make an effort to learn to read the Quran Sharif properly. These are the priorities in our life. These should be the priorities in our life. These should be the important things in our life. Today, Allah forgive us, we got no priorities at all. We're just living for the day, and we're living for the week, and we're living for the month. Or otherwise, our priorities are absolutely upside down. Priorities is first our dunya must come. First all, our business must come. First our comfort and luxury must come. First all, our things of this world and things that will make us happy and comfortable, those are the things that we will give priority. The last things, if we give priority, is to the things of deen. That is unbecoming. Priority must be given to the things of deen. The dunya will come, by the way, Allah will give us what is written for us. We can't get more than what is written for us. That much we will get. We make our necessary effort, but we don't make it an objective and purpose of life. Our purpose and maqsad of life, the priorities of our life, must be our deen. Our Quran must be the priority of our life. That, am I reading my Quran Sharif correctly? Is my tajweed in order? Am I pronouncing the letters properly? Do I know the rules of tajweed? Can I read the Quran Sharif properly? Or I'm making blatant mistakes? My pronunciation is wrong. I'm not reading the Arabic letters correctly. Instead of qaf, I'm reading kaf. Instead of qalb, I'm reading kalb. And we know, the ulama know what is the difference in the meaning. When you're reading qalb, it means heart. You're reading kalb, it means dog. What a big difference in the meaning. There are certain words, if we don't read them correctly, it can nullify our salat. If a person reads hammalat al-hatab, instead of reading hammalat al-hatab, then it is mentioned in the fiqh kitabs that it could nullify a person's salat. Because the meanings change drastically. And so many other such rules. So this is a priority. There are only 29 letters in the Arabic language. If we take one letter every day and we practice on it, in 1 month we learnt our tajweed. There's other basic 10-12 rules. That's all. In 40 days, if we apply ourselves diligently, we make it a priority to read our Quran Sharif correctly with tajweed, in 40 days, inshallah, we will be reading Quran correctly. Imagine what a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah forgive us, 40 years of life have gone past and we haven't made an effort to correct our reciting of the Quran. By right, even we have to pay for it. Here Allah's fadl, we have ulama, qurra, huffaz, who are very acquainted, well acquainted with the laws of tajweed. They are willing to teach free of charge. Unfortunately, we don't want to take benefit from that. And even if they had to charge and you had to pay a premium price for it, it was worth it. To learn to read Quran properly is a small thing. Is it a small thing? It's a big ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Free classes have been offered, even for the ladies. Alhamdulillah, all over, there are classes been offered. Their basic du'as, tilawat, tajweed, masail, these things have been taught free of charge. But alas, it is our deprivation, we don't want to take advantage, we don't want to take benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the asbab and the means of hidayat for whoever is looking for hidayat and guidance. Allah will make the means so that no person can stand up on the day of Qiyamah and say, Ya Allah, I didn't have anybody to teach me, or I didn't have the means to learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you are lying, the means were there, you deprived yourself, you didn't take benefit. May Allah save us from that day of Qiyamah, the embarrassment when we have to stand up and we have to say that I didn't take benefit when I had the opportunity. So therefore, my dear friends, these are the basic things of our deen. We must not take these things for granted. Make it a priority of our life. Correcting our salat, correcting our wudu, correcting our basic things, these are absolutely necessary and essential. We have to bring these fundamentals in place and we have to make them a priority of our life. We can't make it a secondary thing. If I have time, I'll see. If I have time, I'll go to. We have to learn the basic meaning of our du'as, our surah. So when we're reading in our namaz, we know we can concentrate, we know what we are reading, we know what du'as we're reading, we know what surahs we are reading. All these things we should bring into, make them priority in our life. But today the situation is such that ghaflat has set in. Ghaflat. This is that ghaflat that is so much condemned by Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran and the Hadith and by our great Buzurgane Deen. I quote this many times and I quote it another few hundred times. Allah Ta'ala give me the haqiqat and reality and all of us. Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi used to mention about ghaflat. That it is that hen that lays all the rotten eggs of bad habits and bad akhlaq and all these rotten eggs is from ghaflat. Allah take us out from ghaflat. It's a very bad thing. Ghaflat is a terrible thing. Muslim empires collapse because of ghaflat. How they collapse? Because of ghaflat. When ghaflat set in, they lost their empires. So, we must come out of the state of ghaflat. Make special dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, give us salvation and najat from ghaflat. Take us out of ghaflat. Don't make us from the ghafileen. Ulaika humul ghafiloon. Don't make us from the ghafileen. You shouldn't be from the people of ghaflat. So therefore, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was also very firm against ghaflat when it came to Quran Sharif, when it came to making amal on these things. He was very firm and strong on these things. And he used to emphasize the importance of making tilawat correctly. All types of people, young and old, the teachers and the students, the ulama and the lay persons, Hazrat used to emphasize a lot on correct reading of the Quran. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, even if a Shaykhul Hadith or a big mufti of the time went to him for islah and tarbiyah to his khanka in Tana Bowen, Hazrat used to listen to his Quran. Like Hazrat Shah Abrar al-Haq sahab used to listen to the Quran of the great ulama. Ha, vai, paro, make them read from different parts. And then if you're making mistakes, then Hazrat would say, your tajweed is not correct, go there, to the Hafiz Saab or Qari Saab, go and sit down there and make islah. Take the Takhti now and take the Qaida Baghdadi and sit down with Yasirna al-Quran and learn the correct rules of Tajweed. And until they didn't finish the correct rules of Tajweed and correct their reading, islah was not regarded as complete. We see in our Hazrat Wala's Khanqa, Hazrat Wala Damat Barakatuhum in Karachi, in following in the footsteps of his Sheikh, our Hazrat also places a lot of emphasis on Tajweed, and they have one Qari Saab, Hazrat Muhammad Azhar Saab, saying to us that the Qari Saab has been employed specially in the Khanqa to teach the children from the locality and all the Muridin and Mutalliqeen that go for Islah and Tarbiyah to the Khanqa and they stay in the Khanqa, they are required to go and correct the Quran Sharif by the Qari Saab who has been employed particularly for this purpose. So we also should make an effort. Allah give us tawfiq. Life is short. Time is limited. Let us rectify our Quran reading. Go to the ulama. Go one-on-one if you're feeling shy to sit in a halqa or a gathering. Look at Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight. Ya Allah, how nice and happy a person feels, first of all, just to be in Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif. Allahu Akbar. What nuraniyat. What nuraniyat. What goodness. What blessing. Subhanallah. What a beautiful mahal. After all, what can be said about that masjid? The masjid of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahab, khulafai rashidin, the sahaba, the awliya Allah of the ummah. And then in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, we find all over after different salahs, halqas of ta'aleem is taking place, mainly of correction of the Quran. MashaAllah, you see small, small groups, or big, big groups, depending. And people are sitting in their little halqas. Young ustad is teaching old, old men. Old man with a white beard is sitting next to the young ustad with a black beard. And he's reading and the ustad is correcting him. And you find an old people, pious people, very learned people, great people. They got their little halqa. Sometimes small children are sitting next to the ustad and reading. The hifz classes, that's a separate thing on one side. And one day I was sitting with one of my ulama friends who settled down in Medina Sharif. And one elderly man came and sat down next to us whilst we were sitting there. And he said, Hazrat, I just came to read my Suratul Fatiha. So Maulana told him, Paro, read. So he read his Suratul Fatiha slowly, correctly, with tajweed. He said, Alhamdulillah, I gave my sabak for today. I will come back tomorrow. So, look at the importance of tajweed. Look at how much of emphasis is laid on it. Halqas have been established. In Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, people take out their time. They go there, they sit down, they read to the ustad, they're learning. The Quran has been corrected. There are certain people who are reading sabaqirat. Alhamdulillah, there are quite a lot of qurra, qaris. Hazrat Qari Bashir Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, one of the great qurras in Masjid Nabawi Sharif. Alhamdulillah, I have had the opportunity of sitting with him, sitting next to him, and listening with him. The students are coming, they're reading their sabaqirat, and he's correcting their mistakes. What a beautiful atmosphere. May Allah Ta'ala bring that atmosphere back in our masjids. What is there to spend a few minutes before Maghrib, or to spend a few minutes after Maghrib, or before Isha, or after Fajr, or after Asr, or before Asr, or after Zuhr, whenever it is. Whether it is once a week, twice a week, once a day. Let us create that mahal of the Quran Tilawat, correcting, rectifying, so that not a single man, woman or child of this ummah does not know how to read the Quran Sharif correctly. Allah give us hidayat and tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give Hazrat Rahmatul Ali highest status in Jannatul Firdaus. Our Dada Peer, these were our true fathers. What they came to teach us, that go back to the basic fundamentals of deen. Tasawwuf is not only about, you know, all high terminologies and mighty discussions and all about mysteries and all mystical discussions. That is one small aspect of tasawwuf. The real tasawwuf. What is the real tasawwuf? The haqiqi tasawwuf is this. Get the basics right. To get our basics of deen right. Our faraiz in place. Our wajibat in place. Sunnat-e-muakkada in place. Our buzurgan-e-deen are saying that just do the faraiz, the wajibat and sunnat-e-muakkada. And stay away from masiyat and guna and sin. And there is no doubt that such a person is a wali of Allah. But then to do the faraiz correctly, to do the wajibat and sunnat-e-muakkada properly, then a person will be the wali of Allah in this day and time. Nevertheless, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, then it was the latter part of his life, he suffered a stroke, and for about 3 or 4 years, he had partial paralysis of his brain, but by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with medication, treatment, and of course du'as of everybody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Hazrat a remarkable recovery. When he recovered, doctors told him to take a rest, but in fact, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi even more exerted himself in the khidmat of deen in a ripe old age of his life. I would not be mistaken if Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi was perhaps in his late 80s or early 90s when he passed away from this world. And it is said, as if he was sensing his life was coming to an end, he was even more active and vigorous, even in that condition. I recall Hazrat made a safar to South Africa, and he went to different towns, and he had different programs. And when Hazrat was weak, he could not speak, he could not give long bayans. He had his khulafa who were with him on the safar, and Hazrat was deputizing him. Maulana so-and-so will give bayan in this masjid. Maulana so-and-so will give bayan there. And after the program, for that few days when Hazrat was here, alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah, I had some time to spend with him. And I was observing, they would come back, then Hazrat would ask, Acha Maulana, you went to this masjid, what did you speak about? What did Maulana so-and-so speak about? Who was there? How many people attended the program and so forth? Hazrat actually used to listen to the kar guzari. Nevertheless, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali then passed away on the 8th of Rabi'ul Thani. And by the way, we are now in the month of Rabi'ul Thani. We are about the 15th, so about, say, a week or so ago was the date of Hazrat's demise, and that was on the 17th of May in the year 2005. 17th of May, the year 2005, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali passed away. There was a huge crowd for his janaza salah. Thousands of people attended his janaza salah, and Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was buried in his hometown of Hardoi, where he had spent almost all his life, or a great portion of his life, Hazrat spent in the place Hardoi. So that is where Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was buried. May Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, raise his darajat and stages in the akhirah, and all his teachings and talimat, whatever he has shared with the ummah, may Allah Ta'ala give the ummah the tawfiq to appreciate it, to make amal upon it. He is the sheikh of our sheikh. He made the tarbiyat of our shaykh. Today we've seen the barakat of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi's ta'aleem, that his silsila and his halqa has spread through all corners of the world. This was the ikhlas, the sincerity. Where is Hardoi, one little village in India, and where is Hazrat silsila in every corner of the world? This is the sign of the true ikhlas and the taqwa, the piety of our buzurgan-e-deen, that Allah Ta'ala causes the affairs and the nur to spread in all corners of the world. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. ولك الخلق كله ولك الملك كله إليك يرجع الأمر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، فصل وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطيئة. والله أو most beloved Allah, أو most kind, compassionate, merciful, forgiving Allah, أو most tolerant Allah, أو most beautiful Allah. O Allah, we are your slaves, you are our master. اللهم أنت القوي ونحن الضعفاء وأنت الغني ونحن الفقراء. Oh my Allah, from the time we have come of age till now, oh Allah, we have committed many, many sins, oh Allah. We spent our days and nights in your disobedience, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you forgive us, oh Allah. We are begging you, we are pleading, oh Allah. We are asking, oh Allah. In this gathering, oh Allah, they are young, ma'asum children, oh Allah. They are old people with white beards, oh Allah. They are ulama who are sitting here, oh Allah. Oh Allah, there is a great personality like our Shaykh, oh Allah, as the Mufti Zubair Saf, oh Allah. Through the goodness of these people, through the ikhlas, accept this dua, oh Allah. Oh my Allah, forgive us, oh Allah. Forgive all our sins, oh Allah. We have committed many, many sins, oh Allah. Oh my Allah, we have drifted from the Sunnah, oh Allah. We have drifted from the Sunnah, oh Allah. Well, our pious predecessors, oh Allah, this was the mission of their life, to establish Sunnah in the lives of the Ummah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you give us that jazbah, oh Allah. That we bring Sunnah into our lives first, and into the lives of the entire Ummah, make us a means of bringing Sunnah alive in the lives of the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Allah, because this success only lies in complete Sunnah, oh Allah. Success doesn't lie in any other lifestyle, oh Allah. Let us understand that, oh Allah. Let the Ummah understand that. Oh my Allah, we are extremely weak, oh Allah. Oh my Allah, give us the best of this dunya. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, we are asking you the best of this dunya, because this is where we live, oh Allah. Oh Allah, give us the best of our deen and the best of our rozi and the best of everything of this dunya, oh Allah. And in the akhirah, oh Allah, give us the best, oh Allah, and save us from the fire of Jahannam. Oh my Allah, Rabbana, hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun wa ja'alna lil muttaqina imama. Oh Allah, our wives and our children, oh Allah, we hand them over to you completely, oh Allah. You guide them, oh Allah, especially our children. You protect them, oh Allah. As parents, we can only do so much, oh Allah. We can make so much of tarbiyat, oh Allah. Oh Allah, when they are not in front of our eyes, oh Allah, we don't know what influences are coming upon them, oh Allah. You protect them, you guide them. Shower your special rahmat and mercy on them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, save them from evil company, from bad friends, from evil habits. Oh Allah, protect their iman. Oh Allah, make them naik and salih, oh Allah. Oh Allah, make them flag bearers of your deen, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we have major concerns when it comes to our iman and the iman of our children, oh Allah. Oh my Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, oh Allah, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamira, daima. Oh Allah, every ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who is anywhere, oh Allah, and has any type of difficulty and problem, oh Allah, you remove their difficulty, remove their problem, oh my Allah. Make it easy for them. You are kareem, oh Allah, you are kareem. Oh Allah, you are kareem. You give us favors that we don't deserve, oh Allah. You are kareem, oh Allah. Many of the ummatis, oh Allah, of your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are in great difficulty. All those who are in war-torn countries, oh Allah, of the ummah, oh Allah, you assist them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, all those who are in poverty-stricken countries, oh Allah, you remove their poverty, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we eat 3 meals a day, oh Allah. Our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering, oh Allah. Our little children are suffering, oh Allah, in different countries of the world, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you know the halat of ummat. Ya Allah, ummat par raham farmaha. Ummat par raham farmaha, oh Allah, make it easy on the ummat. Oh Allah, blow the winds of hidayat, oh Allah. Oh may Allah, give us ikhlas, oh Allah. Give us ikhlas and sincerity, oh Allah. In whatever little we do, oh Allah, accept it from us. Ya Allah, qubool farma. Ya Allah, qubool farma. Ya Allah, hum na qabil qubool hai. Fir bi qubool farma. Fir bi qubool farma. Fir bi qubool farma. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى أهل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.